scripture reading this morning, taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 6 and 7. For I am already been poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to assemble with one another, to worship God in spirit and in truth. I think I had about 4 text messages this morning. We certainly have a lot of sickness going around, and I know that we've had some crazy weather recently. There's certainly a lot of prayers to go around. The Bible in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, I believe, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And certainly, it's amazing how we're really presented with both opportunities so many times as the Lord's family. Because why, somebody's going through something very good in their life, someone else is also going through a hardship. So certainly, remember all those and keep those in mind. Don't forget about our gospel meeting. We do have the flyers in the back, and I'll try to have that out on Facebook today. Certainly try to support that and try to invite individuals to that. We also have the April calendar out. If you look that over and if there are any things that we are missing, please let us know. Certainly not intentional by any means. It's just an oversight. This morning I'd like to talk a few minutes about retirement. You know, retirement is a very popular subject. In fact, if you're in a workplace for any amount of time, it seems like that might come up more frequently. And as you get older and older, retirement becomes all the more popular in conversation. You know, do you have enough laid aside for retirement? And certainly we think about those things. And you know, physical retirement, I think, has really grown in popularity. And certainly I think that we should think about our later years as our bodies wear down and we're not able to do the things that we once were able to do. But you think about physical retirement, and it made me think about spiritual retirement. You know, when you read the words that Paul writes to Timothy, I want to ask you as you think, can you see spiritual retirement? Can you see spiritual retirement in the Bible? Can you see it? Can you find it? If you went looking for it, what would you find? And as we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and following, it says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Can you find spiritual retirement in the Bible? Perhaps many of our conversations from time to time, as we look and we consider, you know, we think about physical retirement, but can you find in the pages of the Bible spiritual retirement? And that's what I want to discuss, and I want you to really do an honest assessment of yourself. Have you spiritually retired? Because I think spiritual retirement can happen at any age. And although this might seem like it is a lesson directed at people that have some seasons on them, if you will, or some age on them, I really think that spiritual retirement can happen at any age. And I think the Bible has certain terms that would align with that. But I want you to think very seriously about the topic of spiritual retirement, and I want you to think very seriously about what the Bible has to say. Spiritual retirement. Have you spiritually retired? I want to give you some reasons to not spiritually retire this morning. Number one is that there's work to do. And there is so much work to do that really our hands are full with the work at hand. If you look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. There is work to do, and there is work to do for every age. We cannot afford to have anyone spiritually retire. We need each and every one until the very end. And I think that's what Paul is trying to express in his words to Timothy, is that I have given it my all. I have given it my everything. I have given every inch. everything that I have. There is work to do. And we want you to understand that you are needed here at Sandyvale. You are needed as part of the Lord's church. You are needed as part of the kingdom to extend the borders of the kingdom. And although we know that our bodies wear down and that our role might change throughout life, there is work to do. There is work for each and every one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, you might try to find something there that the Bible doesn't say. But it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't think I can read there. It says, unless I hit 60, or unless I hit 65, or unless I hit 80, or unless I hit 20, and I've got a whole lot going on in my life. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are you always abounding in the work of the Lord? There's work to do. There's one reason why we cannot spiritually retire, is because there is work to do. Work on every hand. I'm not saying that our roles don't change throughout life. I think the Bible certainly even gives us that picture. I think that our roles can change in the Lord's church. I think they can. But there is certainly work to do, no matter what. And I think work is good for us. When you go back to the garden, and you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." Immediately when God has created man, He immediately gives man an assignment. He gives man work to do. And there is work for us to do in the Lord's kingdom. There is work to do in the church. And there are many things that fit underneath that umbrella of work, but we can't afford to spiritually retire because there is work to do. In fact, the laborers are few. I understand that our roles can change throughout life. I understand that our bodies and our physical abilities change as we go. Certainly, Ecclesiastes gives us that picture of the body that's wearing down. The eyes don't work the way that they used to. The ears don't work the way that they used to. Our bodies do wear down. But it doesn't mean that the work for the church stops, and it doesn't mean that there isn't work that we can be doing and involved in. In Titus chapter 2, it really gives us the picture of mentorship. If you're older and you feel like you bore down, I'm not saying that your role can't change. But certainly, there is a place for you here at Sandyvale. There's a place for you in the Lord's church. In Titus chapter 2, we see the picture of mentorship. We see older men teaching the younger men. We see older women teaching the younger women. And you need to think to yourself, is there anyone that I'm mentoring? Is there anyone younger that I'm watching after, that I'm trying to bring up in the faith, I'm trying to watch over them, be an example? Now, examples are powerful, but there is also a power of personal connection. Reaching out to somebody and trying to mentor, support, and help them. I think that's what we see in Titus chapter 2. It's talking about qualities of a sound church. If you're older in the faith, who are you mentoring? Who are you trying to help? Who are you trying to support? Who are you trying to encourage and build up? Just because we're old and we have many miles does not mean we can't support the Lord's church. That we can't find a job for us to do to help those that are around us. You know, when you think about physical retirement, a lot of times people throw out age. Sometimes they throw out the age of 60, 65. Sometimes people extend off. But you think about that idea, a lot of times people put age on physical retirement. Have you put an age on your spiritual life? You say, once I hit this age, well, I'm just going to check out. I'm not going to do these things anymore. I understand that roles can change, but we need to think very seriously if we're checking out early on the Lord. You know, it's different. You know, you think about our physical job. We are told by the Bible to be good workers, to be good employees. If we're a boss, we're supposed to be a good boss. But are we checking out early on the Lord? Are we checking out? Are we just tapping our time card and saying, you know what, I'm going to check out early. You know, I've done my time. I've served my years. I've done my duty. I've done my due diligence. I'm checking out. I don't know if the Lord is going to be satisfied with spiritual retirement. In fact, I think that there are some words that we could associate with the Bible that would tie to this idea of spiritually retiring. Giving up on the work before the work is done. Giving up on the things that need to be done before they are completed, before they are finished. You might call it one. In Revelation chapter 3, we have a congregation that has a problem with that. And it's very interesting, all of these letters and these segments to these churches, it starts out in a very similar way. But in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, it says this, I know your work. Now, if that's not intimidating to you, I don't know what would be. You know, I haven't taken a lot of Bible courses. I have. I have taken some Bible courses over my time, and the way that this class was set up was that they would send tests to your house, and you would fill out the test, and you would send it back. And you know, when you got that test, you opened it up, you know what it says? It says, God is your witness. We're not going to proctor this test. No one's going to be looking over your shoulder to see if you're cheating on this. We're not going to Zoom somebody in or have somebody online watching you. God is your witness. I tell you, that was powerful. You know, God is your witness. God is your witness whether you have spiritually retired. You don't have to convince me. We have to convince God. And when we think about spiritual retirement, there is work to do. And when we think about this church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, it says, I know your work, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You know, I think about that. I think about my service to the Lord. Have I spiritually retired? Have I checked out on the work that I should be doing as a Christian? Well, you say, Kyle, you're a preacher. Yes, I am a preacher. I won't walk away from that. But sometimes I think people struggle with the separation between a preacher and a Christian. A lot of the things that I do is because I'm a Christian. Now, you might have a whole bunch of things that you think that a preacher should be involved in and a preacher should be doing. I try to base my expectations off of the Word of God, but there's a lot of things I do just because I'm a Christian. Because I'm a Christian. And there is work to do. I can't spiritually retire. There's work to do. You know, a lot of people do struggle throughout their lives. They go through periods where life gets hard and it gets adverse, and maybe they even get down on themselves. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, it seems like Jeremiah almost is giving up. And we can read some of his words. It seems like Jeremiah's in a rough place and he's struggling with some things. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, it says, Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. It seems like Jeremiah is struggling. And you know what he says after that? It says, But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah, I've been struggling. He says, You know what? Maybe this is hard. This is difficult. This is rough. Maybe I should give up. Maybe I should stop doing the work of the Lord. Maybe I should not speak about peace anymore. But he says, God's word was like a fire in my bones, and I got weary of holding it back. And Jeremiah continued on. It reminds me of Acts chapter 4 and verse 20 where the individual there said, For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Are you convicted? Are you a Christian? Are you a servant of the Lord? There's work to do. And when I look at the people of the Bible, when I look at Moses, when I look at Joshua, when I look at Peter, when I look at John, when I look at all of these people of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, you find the one that's spiritually retiring. I'm not saying that their role doesn't change, but find the one that's spiritually retiring. Find the one that's throwing up their hands and saying, There's no work to do for the Lord. Find the one that's lukewarm. And certainly we understand that people can be at a point where they are lukewarm. Are you? You have a fire burning your bones that you cannot hold back. That's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. I know we age. I know that things become more difficult throughout life. The Bible shows us that picture. But there is always work to do in service to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How's your inward man? I know that our outward man can wear away, but how is the inward man? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it talks about the body wearing down. But there's always something that we can do in service to the Lord. Will you give your best to the Lord? Or will you spiritually retire? Will you give your best to the Lord? Or will you clock out early? You know, there's many Christian examples that I could bring up this morning. But one that I'll bring up this morning, I know at least one person is very familiar with. And although I wasn't very close with this individual, his example sticks out to me and still rings as loud as it did in the moments which this happened. But Brother Keith Ball was about 60 years old. And he went over to India for a mission trip. Now, we've talked about the quarters of life. And I know that some people get a little bothered when I talk about the quarters of life, but there's a message there that we get from Psalms 90, that if we number our days, we gain a heart of wisdom. But if we divide our life into the quarters of life, 0 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 60, Brother Keith Ball was going into the fourth quarter. And Brother Keith Ball went on a mission trip to India, which he had did, I believe, since his son was 3 years old. And Brother Keith Ball was bit by a mosquito, he got a virus, and he died. Really tragic. Young grandkids, a family. But when I look at the situation of Brother Keith Ball, I look at it with admiration. And in many ways, I'd like to die just like him. What, from a mosquito bite, a virus? No, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord, that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. Oh, you're in the fourth quarter, Keith Ball. You're going in the fourth quarter. You need to slow down. You need to relax. You don't need to be doing anything. You just need to sit back and not do anything. No, he's going to India. You know why? He needs to go to India because there's work to do. And there's work to do here in West Virginia. There's work to do all over the world. There's work to do in your life. There's work to do. It doesn't matter your age. I talked to Sarah about this, and maybe this is going to be disturbing for some, but if I could die, if I could choose a way to die, it would be in the service of the Lord. That it would be clear, that there would be no doubt in anyone's mind, that's what I'm doing. No doubt. When I look at Brother Keith Ball, I know it was hard on the family, but his example is a powerful example that I remember to this day, that there is work to do in the kingdom. There is work to do in the kingdom. You know, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't know if I'm sitting on the sidelines and I'm not involved in the work of the Lord, if God's going to be happy with me. I think of Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the master and the talent. And the master gives out those talents, and the master goes to a faraway country. But the master is going to come back, and he's going to get an accounting. And when he comes back in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that from God. And I don't know if I can hear that from God if I retire early. I'm not saying that my role can't change. But I don't know if I can spiritually retire. You know, God knows what he's given you. And I think about that. When the master leaves to go to the far country, he knows exactly how many talents he gave to this person, how many talents he gave to this person, how many talents he gave to this person. And God is expecting those talents to be utilized and to grow. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. There's a song that's sometimes sung, and there's a little phrase that goes, if I die, oh let me die in the service of my Lord. We can't spiritually retire, brothers and sisters in Christ, because there's work to do. Also, we can't spiritually retire because I believe we're called to endurance. Let's read what Paul said to Timothy one more time. It says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We are called to endurance. We are called to a race. And we cannot stop in the middle of the race. We cannot stop. We cannot spiritually retire because there's work to do. But also we can't spiritually retire because we are called to endurance. We are called to finish the race. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're in a race. We're in the race of life, and we cannot stop before the finish line. We have to run strong until the very, very end. And I think that's what Paul modeled in his life. I think it's what Jesus Christ modeled in his life. He gave it all until the very end. We are called, brothers and sisters in Christ, to endure. So the question is why did you stop? Why did you stop in the middle of the race? You know, Paul asked a very similar question to that in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, this is what Paul says to the church at Galatia. He says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Of course, we understand Galatians, written to the church at Galatia. We understand this is written to the church. He says, you ran well. You ran well. You were doing a good job. And then he continues on and he says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? And the way that I kind of look at that is, why did you stop? Why did you stop in the middle of the race? Why did you stop along the way? Life is hard. There are adversities, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's disease, there's things that can get us down. Life is not easy, but why did you stop? Why did you stop? When I look through the Bible, if I look at it with an honest eye, I don't know if I can find spiritual retirement. I don't think you're going to find it. I don't know if you find it with Moses. I don't think you can find it with Paul. I don't think you can find it with Peter, Joshua, John. We can rattle off the list. When I was offered the position here at Sandyville, one of my first goals was to go after elders once again. And then COVID happened. But in that month that I was getting ready, because they kind of made the announcement there in February and then COVID hit in March, I was preparing a lesson for elders, and I reached out to about four or five congregations, and I asked the elders to fill out a slip, and some of it was verbal through phone call. Some of them asked to fill out a slip. Why do you serve as an elder? And I got a lot of different answers. And some of the answers might actually surprise you, but one of the answers that stuck out to me that actually popped up a few times, which really stuck out to me, is it says, I serve as an elder because of the men before me. In fact, one elder said, I don't want to break the chain. He said, not on my watch. He says, if I meet the qualifications and I'm able to serve, I will serve to the best of my ability. Not all elders answered the same thing. It might surprise you. But one of the answers that came up on multiple occasions is, I serve because of the people that served before me. I saw their endurance. I saw their service. I saw their love. I saw their compassion. I saw their Christ-like example. I serve because of those that served before me. And really, all those examples are all pointing back to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ lived a life of endurance. Have you served a life for the Lord? We've talked about it before. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, it says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Kyle, why do you keep bringing that up? Because in the next few verses, in verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If you number your days, it's very possible you're going to gain a heart of wisdom. And I think the Bible wants us to do that. Because when we number our days, we consider how short life is. And when we consider how short life is, we put our priorities in order and we do those things that are most important and those things that are good in life. What quarter of life are you in? I wish you'd stop talking about that. I'm trying to remind you of the time that we have on this earth will not last forever. In Psalm 37 and verse 25, David says, I have been young and now I'm an old. I think about that phrase. I was once young, now I'm old. Didn't seem like it took that long. We are called to endure. would you think of an officer that retired in the middle of a battle? What would you think of the farmer that loses heart in the middle of the planting? We have to endure to the end. If we're in a battle, we need to fight it to the end. And of course, we're talking about those spiritual battles. When we're planting, we need to plant to the end. We need to have some endurance. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, because we do not lose heart." We cannot lose heart. We have to have endurance. We have to have perseverance. We have to go until the end. We have to finish that race. As it said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, that endurance that we need. You know, there's a lot of good that you can do no matter what age you are. In Psalm 71 and verse 18, the Bible says this, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to the next generation." It says, God, don't forsake me when I'm gray-headed. Don't forsake me when I'm old. You know why? Because I've got work to do. I need to declare your work to the next generation. I need to declare your work to the next generation. I don't care what your age is. We all have an obligation to one another. We have responsibilities, obligations to one another. But it says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to the next generation, your power to everyone who is to come." There's so many, many examples that I could bring up. But certainly individuals that have touched my life because they have not spiritually retired. I've mentioned this individual before. And in the past, I've not mentioned his name, but perhaps it's appropriate on this day to mention his name. Bob Keister. Bob Keister was a song leader at Dewey Avenue Church of Christ where I grew up. Bob Keister got very, very sick. And one of my vivid memories is two individuals helping Bob Keister up to the podium so he could lead singing. Bob Keister did not seriously retire. He endured to the very end. In fact, I was talking to John Life last time he was here. And Brother John Life would come up to Dewey Avenue. We would have a Friday night thing, and they kind of had rotations in the area. And John Life would always be there. And he said, "Kyle, I got one better on Bob Keister." He said, "Bob Keister couldn't walk. Bob Keister was bound to a wheelchair." And he said, "They rolled him up to lead singing." Bob Keister always wore cowboy boots. In my mind, he gave a new meaning to die with your boots on. Bob Keister was not going to spiritually retire. And I understand our roles change. I do understand that. I don't want you to mishear me, but I do want you to understand very much so is that we will answer to God. We will answer to God if we're not doing the work of the Lord. We will answer to God if we don't endure to the end. And I think there's something to be said about these great examples that are not in some far distant land, that live right beside us, that are great Christian examples that said, "I will not give in. I will finish the race. I will go to the very end. I will not check out. I will not stop working. I will go to the very end. I will cross the finish line for the Lord." Are you going to run the race to the end? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, the Bible says this, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." It says, "So that I may finish my race with joy." So that I may finish my race with joy. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I don't know what type of sickness is going to touch me. I don't know what type of disease is going to help me. What's going to happen to me? I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know what diseases I'm going to face. I don't know what type of struggles I'm going to face throughout this life. But I want to endure to the end. If I'm in a hospital, I'm going to be trying to work for the Lord. If I'm in a nursing home someday, I'm going to try to work for the Lord. Well, what do you mean work for the Lord? I can influence those people that are around me. If I'm in a hospital and I'm going through treatments, I'm going to try to influence people to the Lord. I'm going to try to be the best example that I can be. If I'm in a nursing home, if I'm in a hospital, if I have a caretaker, I'm going to try to work for the Lord to the very end. Just as those individuals that were before me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't spiritually retire because there's work to do. Number two is that we are called to endure. And let me bring to your remembrance that I cannot spiritually retire because someone died for me. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." You understand that somebody gave their life for you, that was Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 it says, "For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Are you following Jesus' steps? You understand that Jesus gave his life for you. And why did Jesus give his life for you? So he could redeem you back. He could buy you back, and that you would be special to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God." We were bought at a price. Jesus died for each and every one of us. Now, why did Jesus pay the unpayable fine? Why did he die for you and me? Did he die so that we could spiritually retire? In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, I think he gives us the answer. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says this. It says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Why did Jesus die? So he could buy us back, that we could have an opportunity at eternal life, that our sins could be forgiven. But he says, "I have redeemed you. I have bought you. And now you're supposed to be my special people." And what are we supposed to do? Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. We should be zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. We cannot seriously retire. And we have to endure to the end. I like what it says in Romans 14, verse 8. It says, "For if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord." We cannot spiritually retire because there's work to do. We cannot spiritually retire because we're called to endure. And we cannot spiritually retire because someone died for us. We're called to work. You understand that your work is not yet done. Your race is not yet completed. We need you here at Sandyville. We need you to be the best that you can be. We need you to be the best version of yourself you can be. Whether you're 20 or whether you're 80 or wherever you're at, whatever age you are, you need to be the best version of yourself, climbing closer to Jesus Christ each and every day. We need you here. Without you here, we are missing something very special. Certainly I have weaknesses, and there are many brothers and sisters in Christ that fulfill my weaknesses as a preacher. And I'm very thankful for that. We're in this together. We need you. Without you, we're missing something very special. We need the young. We need the old. Do not spiritually retire, because there's work to do. We're called to endure, and a life was given for you. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can this morning, if you come as we stand and as we sing.